So how do you think the villain's new album, upcoming album, is different from your first one?
Well, the new record is a way more consolidated effort. The first record was, almost an experiment. I was doing a lot of, submitting songs for different projects, and the villains didn't really exist. A couple of those songs were demos. And then as it progressed, the guy I was writing with a lot, Peter Stroud, who plays with Sheryl Crow and Sarah McLachlan and Stevie Nicks, who's been filling in for her. Once we got about four songs in, I'd been bringing the guys into the band and tracking them. He was like, man, this is starting to sound like a record, not just individual songs. And so, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, we had what became just another Saturday Night, the debut. We all dug it, and, the record label put it out and went to radio and had some good things. But once we got past the promotion of that record, we knew going into Velocity that we had to consolidate and we had to really find what the villains truly are. When you have three different singers, it can tend to be a little confusing. And so, it's what is this band all about? Now that we've had a year's worth of touring and recording and all this stuff. And so I think that's how it differentiates. It's a much more solid effort all the way around.
Okay, so you mentioned, you were going to spend this year trying to find out what the band was really all about. What is this band really all about?
Well, this band is about no bullshit, it's straight up. What you hear is what we are. We went into this, you got to put your artist hat on. You can't have it on all the time in the music business, or you never make any money. But we wanted the true essence of it, and we feel like that it's the most honest band that we've all ever been, involved with. And so, there's no sitting down and going, okay, how can we appeal to 18 to 25 year olds in this demo and then blah, blah, blah. This band is just about great music, great time. And even with our live shows, we want it to be like, the audience is sitting in on rehearsal. We kid with each other. Somebody might mess up something here and, you'd laugh about it, but we want it to be an all-encompassing thing for everyone involved, not just us.
When someone hears about a band that has three, singers, they think of bands, such as Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles. How do you think you guys compare? I know that's a difficult question, but if someone was interested in the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac, do you think that they would kind of just jump right on the villains' bandwagon?
Absolutely. Yes, but that's the thing. One of these guys could have sang every song and it still would be a good record. But the fact of the matter is, we're a personality band. And that's what's kind of cool about it. It's just like with the Beatles, they interacted well together, not just in the music, but with each other. You could see it in interviews, like the Fleetwood Mac, the band, the Eagles. I think we stick right in there with it. Are we as polished as those bands? Not yet, but it definitely fits right in, and I think anyone is going to get it at any age range. This is fully something for everyone.
You guys have a great list of producers, writers, and collaborators on this album. Does that come with, the fact that all of you guys have been associated in the industry for so long?
It's a little bit, yes, but it's also, I hate to use the word fate, but it's funny because we have been around, a lot of different people in the business, and we have a lot of friends, but the thing about it is, just because someone's your friend doesn't necessarily mean they want to work with you. Are they going to do something for you, or you can do something for them? It's sort of like, if you build it, they will come. We started writing for this record, and quick story, you're speaking about the people that the producers and stuff that we deal with and writers. I was writing once again with Peter Stroud, and he had just gotten back from LA and he was doing some demo guitar work for Don Henley's new record from the Eagles. And I said, oh yeah, who's producing that? And he's like, well, Stan Lynch. And Stan was the drummer in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for, you know, 20 years. And has been working with Don Henley ever since he split that. And I said, wow, man, that'd be really cool. I'd love to have, like, either Stan Lynch or Mike Campbell, you know, the two Heartbreakers, produce this next Villains record. And he was, and then we both kind of laughed, yeah, that'd be great, you know. And then I'm driving home, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to ask Peter straight out, you know, and I picked up the phone, and my phone rang. And it was Peter. He's like, hey, man, I can go back to L.A. tomorrow. You want me to, you know, pass on the information to Stan and kind of see what he thinks? And I was like, yeah. So, and then, you know, a week later, I started getting these weird emails, and I'm like, oh, okay, here, we're on. So to answer your question, yeah, you know, you meet a lot of people, you know a lot of people, and it's sort of like things just sort of line up the way you want them to in different times. And, you know, the thing that people have to understand the most is, I believe, is that there are no saviors in the music business. And this really goes out to musicians and other writers. You have to do the work. If you do the work and it's the correct work, it will come to you. And that's just our philosophies. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, absolutely. You guys toured with Blues Traveler and Sister Hazel to promote the first album. What was that like? I mean, those are two bands that had a couple of really big hits. Was that a fun tour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, both those acts, they're cool guys. All the crews involved were cool. And it's interesting because, you know, obviously Sister Hazel is more like a late 90s thing. But they have, you know, turned around that whole band and business. They have a lot to do with the rock boat stuff that goes out of Florida. And it was really cool. Everybody was really nice to us. And, you know, we were on the same label as Sister Hazel for the first record. So that was a no-brainer. But going out with Blues Traveler, I'd never been, you know, the biggest fan. I mean, I knew of them. And the second that John Popper walked out on stage the first time, he was in Pensacola, Florida, and started to play, I was like, wow, man, this is – that dude is gifted from God. I mean, there's no – this is ridiculous. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was so mind-blowing. So you always – even if you don't know who you're dealing with, and you're always surprised by something, but everybody was more than gracious to us, and we really appreciated the chance to be able to do that, considering we were an unknown band. And we're hoping we will get the same chances coming into 2012 for the tour.
How do you guys feel about the new label? How is that going for you guys?
Man, you know, a godsend. We came out of Just Another Saturday Night, and you know, typical what you hear in, you know, in the music business is, you know, we had a little bit of success at radio. You know, we built up a following. Things were kind of moving and shaking, and then, you know, word started going around. We were doing this record with Stan Lynch and Billy Chapin, and all of a sudden, you know, we started getting calls and little nibble bits from other labels. And this one label came in, and that's who we're with now. It's Toucan Cove, and they're one of the Universal Music Group's labels. And they really got what we were doing. You could tell they were super, super passionate about it. And, you know, we went back and forth for a couple of months, and it was just a better home for us than Rock Ridge Music, which was our first label. And they understood that, and, you know, it's been great, man. It's really been going about as good as we could ever hope that it would, without the record being out yet.
Yeah, speaking of the record not being out yet, it's supposed to be coming out on Valentine's Day in 2012. Let's just say someone's walking through a Best Buy or, you know, a record store, and they see the CD, and they're like, oh, why should I pick this up? Why should they pick this up?
That's a great question. Well, they should pick it up. it's you know, honest. It's fun. It's sad. It's moving. It's an experience, and it's them. It's their lives, just like it's our lives. You know, at the same time, it's also fun. And, you know, we mean every word of it, and there's just no way you can't connect with it. And that would be the biggest thing. Give it a chance.
The lyrics for Down for the Last Time, I mean, those are pretty tight, man. I mean, you're talking about some inner struggles and, you know, you never borrowed, but now the devil owns your soul. I mean, where does that stuff come from?
You know, that's funny that you say that, because that tune, I wouldn't say it started out as a joke, but it kind of started out like, let's just rock. I think I was listening to Back in Black and a bunch of other stuff, and Jimmy James Schmidt, a member of the Villains and the co-writer on that song, I said, man, I got this tune, it's this riff, and it might be a little too heavy for, you know, what we do with the Villains. And I started playing it, and he was like, dude, too heavy, are you crazy? that's rock, and let's go. And so, as far as the lyric, it was kind of just pulled out of the sky. I mean, it was just like, you know, it's the story of this guy. He's exhausted every possibility. He's borrowed money, kind of like a con man sort of guy. And now people are coming back. They want their money. They want him. And it was sort of like, you know, you had to put yourself in the story. And I know we did. Like, what if we were there? What if you were, you know, $2 million in debt to, you know, the mafia or something? And that's where it came from. As far as the lyric and pulling it out of the sky, I think the desperation of the character is something that, you know, you don't have to be a con man or whatever to feel that desperation. So we were, you know, way into the character, and let's develop this. At the same time, you know, you don't want to, we like it to where the listeners just sort of drop into the story, rather than, okay, let's backstory this, and okay, this guy was born in Des Moines, Iowa, then he moved to City and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, no, that it was a fun song. And then when we finally got it into to pre-production with Stan and Billy, keep in mind that me and Jimmy had done like a little acoustic demo of it. And then, you know, Stan, when we started working with Stan, he's like, just send me every song you have. And we go back and forth. And he was honest. And when I say honest, I mean brutal. and so there's always rewrites. You know, I think the phrase is, a great song's never written, it's rewritten.
Well,
I hope that answered the question.
Absolutely. Is there anything else about the band that you'd like people that haven't listened or have listened to know, to just, you know, kind of get them to understand where you guys are coming from?
Let me think about this for a second. Well, you know, let's see. On Thursday evenings, we wear each other's underwear. and Saturdays, not good. Well, you know, I think it says it all in you know, on the record and going from song to song. What I will say is that the great thing about this band, and, you know, we've all known each other for years. We've toured together. We've toured separately, blah, blah, blah. And it when I say it's a character band and the same thing as, like, the Eagles, let's take them for example. You've got Henley with the raspy sort of thing and that real emotion. You've got the Glenn Frey storyteller, and they're – but it all mixes together on every song. And with this band, you know, you have Michael Magno. We just call him Magno. That's not Mango. It's Magno. and he is like a child of the 80s. Man, this guy is like Journey crazy and, you know, all the 80s stuff. And he brings that flavor in. Big pop guy. Jimmy James Schmidt is... You know, while he loves everything, I mean, he's a really, really old school country guy. He's your go-to on that. Michael Wilkes, guitar player, man, Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, all that 90s stuff. Big, big fan. And that's really his forte. Sean McNally, we call him Shawnee Man. Don't ask me why, we just call him Shawnee Man. You know, he loves beats, and that dude is like a reggae encyclopedia. And then, so when you put all that together and you have a really strong tune and everybody brings their thing to it, you get the Villains. And this record, you really get that. Like, what is the best of everyone and how do we bring it to every single song? And I think that's what differentiates us from a lot of, from the rest of the pack. Not that we're better or worse or anything, that's, you know, that's never the case. It's honest. It's just honest. That sound is what happens when five guys that have different fortes come together and make something that they all believe in.